Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Phoenix, Arizona, it's time for Phoenix Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Hello, this is John Deiter with Business Solutions Radio, sponsored by John Deiter Solutions. I'm your host. I'm really pleased to have two guests today that are as passionate as I am about helping business owners grow their business and get more of what they want from their businesses and lives. Business owners are always juggling 136 things at the same time, often sacrificing family time or other interests to put in the long hours it sometimes takes to run a growing business. Having trusted resources available to help them break through these barriers and take advantage of opportunities is really critical. So our theme here is there is help. As a reminder, my business is helping owners and their leadership teams implement the Entrepreneurial Operating System, or EOS, which is based on the book Traction by Gino Wickman. EOS is a complete management system with simple, practical tools and a proven process to get a grip on your business through a clear and shared vision with disciplined execution in an accountable and healthy culture. Well, that's enough about me. I want to get to my guests and introduce them and start our conversation. First, Chris Rood is a vice president of commercial banking at Arizona Business Bank. He helps clients obtain loans for business growth. We share some common roots back to the Midwest and Chicago area. And we actually first met in 2016 when we were rooting the Cubbies on to their first World Series championship, which was awesome. Hi, Chris.
How you doing, John?
I'm doing great. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
And I know the bank does much more than lending, and we'll get into that as well. But in your short bio, you mentioned enjoying fishing in the neighborhood with the family. Brings back a memory of me and my son at a local creek, and we did catch a couple of monster minnows that were pretty exciting. So you'll have to share a fishing story.
Yeah, we've got plenty. So
yeah, good fishing out there in by your house.
You know, we've got a little pond in the neighborhood.
Perfect.
Catch a lot of carp and catfish. And
oh wow,
the kids love it.
Those are serious fish.
Yes.
Excellent. So Larry Jones is a business performance advisor with Insperity, a company that creates efficiencies for business owners by bundling many of the overhead expenses and services related to employees, such as payroll, competitive benefits, workers' comp, admin support, and really customized service plans for outsourcing these functions to them as the experts. He grew up around a family businesses and knows the frustrations and challenges that he now can help address through his relationship. So, hello, Larry.
Hello, John.
I love the simplicity of Insperity's mission, which reads, helping businesses succeed so communities prosper. And that's really a terrific greater purpose or the why of the business.
Exactly.
Yeah. Anything? So Chris likes fishing, and I know he likes golf. I've played with him a couple of times. He's much better than I am. But what do you like to do in your spare time?
Well, I like the minnows. Yeah, I've had plenty of fishing stories and with the kids and But I grew up in the Midwest as well, so started fishing with Grandpa back in the day and nice. Tried to carry that over with the kids.
You're not a Cardinals fan, are you?
Uh-oh.
Arizona Cardinals.
No, St. Louis Cardinals.
I grew up in Nebraska, so we didn't have the professionals, so I'm kind of brainwashed for college football,
there we go.
Unfortunately.
This will go just fine then.
Yeah. The Cubs.
We're good.
Yeah, just for recommendation, the Cubs were the only ones that were on TV.
Yeah.
You know, WGN and...
Right.
We were kind of brainwashed for them too.
Perfect. That works out good. I didn't do enough background checks to determine if there was a misfit on sports teams. So yep. That's good. Oh, well. So Chris, tell us a little bit more about what you do and more importantly, how you help business owners. How do you go about that?
Well, yeah, I think, I've been doing this for quite a while and our mission at the bank really is to work with good people, to let them hit their goals, whatever they may be. And the approach we take, I think, is a little bit different. We really try to get to know our clients really well and really treat it as a peer-to-peer relationship. That's really important when you're talking about, could be the most important thing in their life, depending on who you're talking to.
Sure.
You know, I always kind of rank it with people. I'm like, it's either family and money or money and family. It's kind of 1A and 1B, right, depending on the person. So, you know, what we're doing is really, really important to those business owners and all the employees. So really taking the time to understand, you know, how did they get to where they're at? Where do they want to be now? Where do they want to be 3, 5, 10 years down the road? And then part of that process for us is really involving all the advisors. So it's not just, you know, the bank coming in and saying, hey, we want you to do this. It's, hey, let's sit down with your CPA. Let's sit down with John, who's consulting for you. Let's sit down with your insurance people, whoever it is, bringing everybody to the table to really make sure everybody's pushing towards that same goal. You know, I kind of tell people, our goal is to work with good people. Right. If you're a business owner, you're a good person, you're looking for a trusted advisor, a true relationship with your bank, that's what we're there for.
Right. And then I've been in situations where I worked for owners that always felt the bank was, they never loan us when we need money, and you know, really had a negative perspective toward the banking relationship. And I've grown to appreciate and understand what you do, and certainly what Arizona Business Bank does. So.
Yeah, I mean, and I hear it all the time, you know, and that just tells me that there is no relationship, because right. there hasn't been the conversations leading up to that situation. You know, we always tell people the best time to try and get money, obviously, is when you don't need it,
right?
You know, but when there's a need, depending on what's driving that need, you know, if it's a downturn in business or something like that, that's, you know, maybe you need a larger, some more working capital, whatever it may be. As long as you're having those conversations leading up to that situation, there's usually a solution.
Right.
It's the challenge is when you wait and then all of a sudden, hey, I need this now, then you have some tough obstacles potentially. So
without the prior relationship and the conversations of maybe some good times, maybe even some bad times, but you've seen them over the years come around and get out of it and work their business well. That's, I think, what you've told me is a good client for you.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and the thing is nobody ever just keeps growing. I mean, there's always downturns, and especially in Arizona. I mean, I've been out here 6 years, and the market here is very different than the Midwest where I came from. So when your market is really driven by real estate and construction, there's a lot of ups and downs in that.
Right.
So that's where you have to have that relationship for the next downturn. Hey, how are we going to get through this? You know, what are the things you can do now when the times are really good to make sure you get through that downturn without any problems? Right. Again, it all goes back to that relationship.
Sure, sure. And you see that their management staff, the people there, are all contributing, and that business owner has a good team underneath. And I say that on purpose because the EOS model and the tools that we teach really strengthen that management team under the business owner and lets that business owner explore the possibilities and have the time to build a relationship with the bank and others that are absolutely good for them in the longer term, instead of working the long hours day to day, getting stuff done.
Well, I think what you do, John, goes back to that kind of adage of working on the business and not in the business.
Sure.
You know, unfortunately, most guys that start businesses, you know, from the ground up and grow them, they had to do everything in the beginning.
That's it. Right?
And they don't know how to step away. And I think that's kind of where you step in and do a great job of that. And but that's a huge challenge. I mean, again, you're talking about probably the most important thing in their life next to their family.
Exactly.
They don't want to give up the reins usually.
Yeah. Yeah. Let me shift over to Larry. Insperity, great company, big company. How did you get connected with them, or how did you wind up with Insperity?
That's an interesting story. I was with a large corporation, very successful corporation worldwide. And after 15 years of being with them, they made a change in their footprint and closed out the Phoenix office. So kind of was a abrupt change or needed to be changed. Right. And that's where I ran across Insperity, kind of the history of growing up in the Midwest. I experienced firsthand the challenges of, you know, family members having businesses and seeing the challenges that they were having with that burden of being an employer. And that's when running across the services that Insperity has, I thought it was a great match.
Yeah. Tell us a little bit more about Insperity. I know what a PEO is, but maybe our listeners don't. And you really incorporate a lot of different things in what you do for clients.
Exactly. Yeah, there is a lot. As far as just, you know, a little history or the background, you know, Insperity's founder and current CEO was basically a serial entrepreneur. Each time he grew his business, the experience he had with that burden of being an employer always came out. Many businesses have these similar challenges with, you know, the only difference being the resources you have to throw at them. You know, he got to thinking about the next business venture. And that's when he started Insperity a little over 30 years ago.
Wow.
So maybe the traction could have been helpful tool back then. So.
Yeah, he was successful whether he had it or not. So yeah. He's probably learned a few lessons along the way.
Exactly. Well, you know, and then, you know, still leading our company today, Paul Sarvati, you know, started with the goal of leveling the playing field for small businesses to compete against those larger corporations. He wanted to do this by making it easier for an employer to be an employer and also mitigating risk, managing that employee burden that so many people experience.
You know, one of the risks as I've worked with clients, even before when I was a consulting CFO, pretty much most of the time I asked them to, they should be outsourcing their payroll because the risk of filing the taxes on return, you know, on time, just getting all the compliance things done was always a challenge. And I actually experienced a couple of bad situations where it got behind and it just wasn't a good situation. So I'm a big proponent of outsourcing those kinds of services to the experts, really.
Exactly. Yeah, there's so much to run in the business. As far as, you know, when Paul kind of grew the business, he started off like many, you know, entrepreneurs and had two people with an office about 600 square feet and one phone. And then now it's impressively over 60,000 or 60 offices nationwide. The impressive part of that, as well as the success of Insperity, came directly from helping over 150,000 businesses.
Wow.
And helping them meet their goals. Insperity uses the same methods that we use internally to help the businesses run better, grow faster, and make more money.
So the payroll you do, but you also have the benefits there that you offer to your clients as well through a pooled resource, or how does that?
Yeah, it's kind of, you know, as far as like what we do, it's simply start with kind of the why or the how, and it kind of leads into what we do for our clients. You know, Insperity's mission is our why, and we really, like you mentioned, help businesses succeed so communities prosper. You know, we really truly believe this mission and do anything we can to help the businesses. Cool. You know, when meeting with so many businesses throughout the year, you know, we simply try and find a little bit more about their businesses, the challenges they're facing, but also understanding who their best client might be. You know, many times we're just making simple connections with other business owners. You know, Insperity will even host different events, bringing many of these like-minded business leaders together, a variety of trainings or lunch and learns, either internal HR services or even topics of our clients. Just again, we feel it's just being a little bit different and helping business out in any way possible.
Well, and I think too, Larry, that's a great comment you made about, you know, connecting people. Because right. I think that's something that we really, really, really do a great job of.
Yeah.
And I think that separates us is we try and connect our business owners to anybody else we know that can help them. You know, when I meet people, I usually try, I just tell them, you know, I'm the concierge of the bank. If you need something, call me. Mm-hmm. I don't care if it's you're looking to buy a car, go on vacation. I mean, it doesn't even matter. We have so many clients in the bank that do all those sorts of things and so many connections that we try and put those people in touch all the time. And it doesn't have to do anything with their business. They just call and say, Chris, I'm looking for this. You know anybody?
Right.
That's a trusted advisor there. Yeah.
Yeah. Be that advisor. You're right.
Well, the other thing the bank does, and I'll put a plug in here. Chris asked me to facilitate a peer group of CEOs and owners of manufacturing businesses. And we've started the group. Actually, we're still looking for some members. If there's any manufacturing business owners out there, Chris or I would love to talk to you about joining the group. It basically meets once a month. But basically, the bank puts that together, brings in a couple sponsors, and we sit around for a morning, have a couple of speakers on a particular topic, and whatever is the most pressing issue that current week or that we set up, we talk about. So I appreciate the bank doing that. And how many of those groups do you have now?
Yeah, they started that in Denver probably about 4 years ago. They've got 12 or 14 up in Denver or in the Colorado market. We have 7 here. And they range from a group for subcontractors, nonprofits, women-owned business. I run the manufacturing group and also a distribution group. Mm-hmm. There's a technology group. And really what's cool about this is there's a lot of peer-to-peer coaching opportunities out there that you can be involved with, but most of them don't stay in one vertical. And that's what's really powerful about this. All the people sitting around our table with me and John are all manufacturers. So while they're not competing with each other, they all have similar challenges. You know, very similar to my distribution group. You know, the distribution group has very specific challenges to right. that vertical. And that it's really powerful. And it's been a wonderful thing to be involved with.
Yeah, just, you know, the topics we've covered so far have been culture related. We're having one coming up on sales compensation programs for salespeople in a B2B kind of a manufacturing environment. So topics are chosen by the group, and we put some information together, and we have at it. So far, it's been a lot of fun and gotten some good information out. So that works out good. Not too dissimilar from what Larry's saying, where they do host some lunch and learns and some other things, basically just to give. A couple of them are clients, but not all of them. And no hard sell. It's just sharing information. And that's what this is all about here. So,
yeah, you know, and John, you've heard me say this probably 100 times, but I'm a huge believer in karma. Yep. You just do the right thing and do good stuff. Right. Good things are going to happen. So yeah. It is a wonderful group to be part of.
Yeah. Larry, what's the sweet spot for your business with Insperity? What size company? What do you look for as a characteristics of a client that you'd like to work with or could use your help?
Well, you know, the businesses we work with are typically in that growth mode, ones that value their employees and know that the employees are the company's greatest asset to this, you know, achieve that goal that the company has. As far as company requirements, you know, Insperity has many different businesses that they've worked with up to about 3,000 employees. The sweet spot, if you will, is right around 5 to 150 employees. Mm-hmm. As a publicly traded company, you can see our annual report that the average size across the country is right around 25 employees. This is because, you know, that business owner is wearing so many different hats. That's where we can step in and really take over and help out.
Let them step away from doing that stuff that doesn't add value necessarily to the customer directly and let them do what they need to do to make product, think of the next best thing and meet customers and
exactly
take that burden away. It's interesting because Insperity is a multi-billion dollar public company and yet their average size of their client is 25 employees. Think about how many small businesses you're helping. That's just almost right. mind-boggling. And I'm a numbers guy. I'm not even going to try the math on that.
yeah, especially when you look at those small businesses of even five people, you know, and all the things they're trying to juggle. But to have that resource and, the, you know, just the backing of a multi-million dollar company and all the big company perks that come along with that to use as a resource.
You're right. And that goes back to your mission, I think, where communities prosper. That's yeah. So cool to have that in your mission, that it's about the business being successful, which helps the employees. They're going home at night into their families and their communities and living a good life. So that's pretty cool.
Right.
Chris, the bank has a lot of other services. You said you're the concierge. I know Arizona Business Bank is part of CoBiz Financial. Is that the parent company?
Yeah, CoBiz Financial. We're publicly traded on the NASDAQ under the symbol COBZ. The bank was founded 25 years ago, maybe in Denver. Steve Bangert's our chairman. He started in Arizona, I want to say about 17, 18 years ago. And the bank was really founded on the premise of, let's go find good commercial bankers and let them do what they do. And to that end, we're a commercial bank. We're not a retail bank. So we don't have locations all over town. We right. don't. You know, if people just walking off the street, which doesn't ever happen, but if somebody just kind of walked off the street and said they want to open a personal account, we'd probably say, I don't know if we're the best fit for you. So really everything we do is focused on the business owner. And that's from running the business, maybe the liquidity event from when you sell the business, and then also some ancillary services that most other financial institutions don't offer. So the bank itself, we've got the bank. Then we also have an insurance arm, and our insurance arm is a property casualty workman's comp. It's more of a P&C firm versus mm-hmm. a life insurance firm. That's fairly unique in our space.
Okay.
And the reason they brought that in is, again, business owners all need insurance. So why not have kind of a one-stop shop.
Simplify it for them.
Right? Yeah. And then on top of that, we've got our private bank. And the private bank, again, deals with our high net worth clients that usually have a liquidity event or have investable assets. And they manage those for them. They help with planning. But really, it's full service. So right. we are kind of a one-stop shop.
That's awesome.
It's cool to be able to offer.
Right.
You know? And the nice part is, you know, on the insurance side, they're brokers. So it's not that it's our insurance. I mean, it's a brokerage firm. They can go out, shop the best products and services available for our clients. And just very consultative. Consultative.
Consultative.
but they do a great job, again, the whole team understanding what's important to that owner and making proper recommendations.
Right.
You know, I've been in multiple meetings with my business partners where they've said, hey, what you've got's great. Keep it. You know, a lot of people in my situation don't necessarily do that because right. it doesn't benefit them. So, you know, really we're looking at it on a long-term holistic approach. What's right for the client? If it's right for the client, it'll work out for us.
Yeah. And again, having you or the concierge to go to, they don't have to shop multiple brokers or do the private bank. They just have, hey, most effective use of that person's time is to go to you and say, hey, what can you do for me? And you share it and see where it
try and make it easy.
Right.
You know, and to that end, I mean, we try and meet our clients at their offices all the time. I mean, for a client, if I have to ask one of my clients that's an hour away to drive to my office to talk about something, that's not right. So, I mean, really face-to-face meetings, really important. Again, going back to that relationship, truly understanding what's going on in the business.
That's really awesome. That high touch. And again, that's the relationship part of it. Not, can I get you a loan or can I sell you insurance? It's, hey, what do you need? And here's what I can offer.
Yep.
That's really great.
Kind of goes with that karma, like you said earlier, just doing the right thing. And like how you said that, you know, you don't always have a fix for everything. It's what's doing what's right for them.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, at the end of the day, you know, your reputation is huge.
Right.
So doing the right thing and making sure people are taken care of, that's all we want to do. Yeah. You know, it's interesting. I spent 20 years in banking. The last 2.5 have been with Arizona Business Bank, and it's been the best 2.5 years of my career.
That's awesome.
I mean, everybody has a good time. We know we're not solving the world's problems. We're not curing cancer, you know, but what we do is important and it's very important to our clients, but we have a good time doing it, you know, and it's just a lot of fun.
I think what the three of us share is that we're helping those small businesses, some of them not so small. I mean, in the world of Wall Street, they might be small, but that's the nuts and bolts of the economy. And we're all three of us are really providing them ways to be successful and keeping employees and growing and hiring more employees and helping communities prosper. As I like that one.
Well, and I think
Insperity, in case you don't know, Larry.
The cool thing about what all three of us are doing too is every day is kind of a new day. I mean, I get to see how all the widgets of the world are made. I mean, every day I'm meeting with a new prospect or a client that's doing something different from somebody else. And it's just so interesting to me to see all these different aspects of what makes the world go round.
Yeah.
Every day is a new day. So it's fun.
That's pretty cool. So there's other competitors, obviously, out there for Insperity, Larry. What makes Insperity different? Talk a little bit maybe about that, the PEO and how that works with the benefits and so forth. There's some nuances in there from what I remember.
Okay. Yeah, definitely. As far as kind of starting off or going back, I guess, as far as that PEO or basically, you know, how we help those business owners, I guess, you know, is what we're trying to do is just change behavior and helping them, you know, build culture within their business and getting, you know, simply a little bit more out of their employees. Change, as we know, can be, you know, very challenging and difficult. But if we can get that culture to change and happy employees easily flows over to happy clients and the success of their business. You know, what we do there is just utilizing that money that the business is already spending, creating some efficiencies by bundling many services together. More specifically, we're working with that fringe, if you will, you know, or the differences between gross payroll and the actual amount of money that comes out of that business owner's bank account. You know, we take that difference and the cost of doing business and leverage it in a unique way from other companies. You know, a small business would be sharing our EIN number using the resources from a much larger pool of about 2 million employees and creating some efficiencies and cost savings and just big company perks to, you know, build culture.
So with that 2 million employees, you're able to leverage that in your benefits programs and so forth that allows the small businesses to offer those kinds of benefits. Is that, am I getting that right?
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, if you think about it, like a small IT company or software company being approached by, say, Microsoft, and Microsoft's going to allow them to use all their big company resources. Microsoft says, hey, we're going to run your payroll, filing all your appropriate taxes. You can use our HR for recruiting, training, development, have access to our 3,000 online classes, 80,000 online books. You know, you can buy into their rich healthcare benefits, the 401k, life insurance. And of course, you know, Microsoft is going to take care of all managing the risk and the compliance issues while those employees are just simply focusing on the growth of that business. At the same time, you know, Microsoft isn't coming in to buy your business. They're not telling you how to run your business. It's just simply, you know, charging a small flat fee to utilize all those administrative services. You know, and many times we find out that fee is offset just simply by the discounted healthcare cost alone. You know, yeah, that's been a roller coaster lately. So,
yeah, I can only imagine that. But again, having the leverage of that many employees has to be better than a 5 or 10 or 20 employee company trying to get competitive health insurance.
So. Right. And as far as I know, I don't think Microsoft or any other large corporation is really offering those solutions. So that's kind of where Insperity, you know, provides all those services for those small businesses.
Okay. Are you mentioned the IT kinds of companies. Is that something in Arizona that you're kind of focused on, or what industries or what kinds of companies are you?
IT is one. I mean, that was just kind of one example of Microsoft everyone knows about. So good comparison there, but it, you know, more the professional services.
Okay.
You know, again, the growth mode, the, you know, focusing on their employees, you know, highly comped, highly, you know, educated employees, because that, you know, they're expecting the best of the best for those employee perks. And, you know, what's going to keep them at that small IT company or small business versus those larger corporations where they could go down the street and get those big company benefits.
And with the startup world that's around, a lot of tech businesses, I know I'm a member of the Arizona Technology Council and they do a lot of things, but those kinds of businesses that are growing, they need to get the technically good people and bring them on board and pay them right and get the benefits they need. And eventually when they grow, they'll need a bank loan and maybe they'll need to implement EOS along the way too.
So. Yeah.
Sounds like a winning combination.
It does, right. Yeah, yeah. We're going to have to bundle this somehow.
Bundled services, that's where it's at.
That's really
cool. I think one thing too, Larry, because we work with a lot of companies that have PEOs, and we've talked about this in our C3 peer-to-peer groups, especially in my distribution group, because that one's been around a little bit longer. But with Prop 206 and all those things that came through, you know, the liability side for business owners is huge. So to have a PEO that's in there and kind of helping manage and shift that risk and liability is really big, especially nowadays.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't know if we mentioned it. PEO stands for?
Professional Employer Organization.
Okay. That's what I thought, but I didn't want to botch it up.
Yep.
Very good. Chris, back to you. There's obviously challenges in trying to get loans done through the bank. As good a people they are, sometimes there's some challenges and hard to overcome. What are some of those?
Yeah, well, I think that goes back to having that relationship, making sure all the advisors are together and on board. But that is probably one of the biggest challenges is, you know, the business owner, they run their company at year end. A lot of times they're looking at their bottom line saying, wow, I made a lot of money. How can I kind of defer some of this for tax purposes, right, things like that? Which is all great. You know, I mean, I'm all for trying to reduce your tax bill as much as possible, but the challenge can become where they've reduced their tax bill to the point where now they have limited their access to capital. So really understanding that balance between, hey, should I take this full depreciation this year, or should I expense this year, or kind of maybe wait and see what happens in terms of, do I need capital? That's a big piece, you know, because we see a lot of small business owners, especially the guys that are doing everything themselves, are trying to pay zero in taxes.
Right.
Well, unfortunately, that means you didn't make any money technically.
Right.
And then it becomes hard to lend to you.
Sure.
So trying to understand what your needs are, and then you can plan appropriately. That's big. You know, the other thing is a lot of small business owners, from a financial statement preparation and quality of information, are a little bit behind the eight ball. You know, they're looking at it kind of once a year saying, hey, I give everything to my CPA. He does it. Great. I'm done. The reality is, you know, having good quality financial statements will improve your access to capital over time. You know, having either compiled statements, reviewed statements, or even audited statements by a CPA does wonders for accessing capital. Putting together good packages for your lender, that's a huge thing. It's something you and I have talked about in the past. And, you know, when you want to go to the bank and get a loan, the better your package that you present to the bank is, the easier it is to get through that process.
Yep.
And a couple things really simply that we don't see often that is really helpful and something that owners should be doing somewhat regularly, you know, making sure your financial statements are as close to GAAP as possible. You know, they're not all going to be GAAP, but being as close as possible and really, you know, breaking out current maturities of long-term debt on your balance sheet.
Right.
You know, that sounds so basic, but 90% of the statements I get that are company prepared don't do that. You know, preparing debt schedules. So understanding, here's all the debts we have. Here's our monthly payments, our rates, amortizations, all that stuff. Yeah. You can provide that to the bank, just makes it that much easier.
Sure.
So really putting together a good quality financial package on the front end, very important. With us,
I'm just going to say, if they have that history of good financial reporting, then when it's time to go to the bank, you know, here's the last 2 years, 3 years, 5 years of good, solid financial statements, and here's what we want to do. And
well, I mean, again, it's, we're putting the faith in that owner. We're going to lend them money. They're going to pay us back. And the more we can rely on those statements, the easier it makes that decision.
Sure.
You know, so I'd say that's key. The other thing for us, again, it's having that relationship, sitting down, talking about what they're doing. Why do they want to do it? Is that the best route for that situation? You know, we met with a client this morning. He's looking to acquire the business from his parents. He's got some kind of fairly large growth plans. And we kind of talked about, what do you do with your current debt? You know, because you're going to buy this company, that's going to change. But just sitting down and having that conversation 6 months before that's going to occur,
right?
Critical, you know, because then when we get there, it's not a hurry up. It's not a rush. It's everybody kind of understands what's already happening. So again, going back to that, having a relationship is just key.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, it just doesn't happen everywhere.
Right. Right. Well, anybody listening today, hopefully is getting some good hints and to get a chance to sit with you and plan ahead. That's kind of the key there too.
It's so important.
Yeah.
Because it does take a while. I mean, unfortunately, getting deals done can be a challenge. I mean, it's one of those things where I think we probably spend a little bit more time on the front end with somebody that's not a client, you know, a prospect, bringing them in. We really, really want to know them and make sure it's a good long-term fit. So that may take a little bit longer on the front end. But then once you're a client of ours, we can move pretty quickly.
Right.
You know, so yeah, I would say again, just goes back to that relationship.
Right. I think we're all three of us are relationship driven, and that's where it's at really. Understanding what we can offer and making sure if there's a challenge that somebody's meeting, what might work and giving them an opportunity.
And another thing I would say, John, when it comes to that is, you know, you also have to understand what kind of owner you are, what you're looking for. We're not a transactional bank. So we're not a bank that's a low cost provider. We're never going to be the cheapest on the street. We're not set up that way. So if that's what people are looking for, that's not for us. You know, if somebody just wants, hey, I'm looking for a real estate deal and I want the absolute lowest rate, it's not going to be me.
Yeah, yeah.
Because the value that we provide has a cost to it. And that's a huge difference.
Right.
And a lot of times people don't, on the front end, they think you're kind of talking BS. You know, they think, oh, I've heard this from lots of people. Everybody says it's relationship driven and, you know,
yeah,
when they finally experience it, they're kind of like, wow, this is different.
Yeah.
And it is different.
That's really, I love it. Larry, back to you. What else can we cover on Insperity? What,
I think that's, you know, easy transition as far as what makes it different. I mean, we're right in that same thing. You know, we are a premier provider as well, you know, and unfortunately all those nice things out there in the world aren't always the cheapest, you know, that's, but they're, usually worth it once, you can justify that. You know, some of the things that do make Insperity different, we just received a little recognition from Business News Daily in January. They recommended Insperity as the best PEO for small businesses again for 2018.
Congratulations. That's terrific.
Fantastic. Yeah.
They also, we just became a, to throw out another acronym for you, CPEO. So it's a certified PEO. And it's just based on new certification process the IRS had to put in place to meet new regulations for Congress, you know, basically to assist and manage the tax regulations in place for PEOs and their clients. You know, and kind of continuing from there as far as, you know, as far as being different, that's, you know, exactly why what many of the businesses state, you know, once they've met with us, we start by uncovering what's important to the business owner, find out where we can be a resource, even if it's just simply making those connections we talked about earlier.
Yeah.
You know, if it makes sense to continue, then, you know, we gather a little bit more information and see if they qualify. Insperity will complete an analysis where they are now and where there might be some areas to, you know, improve those opportunities. There's several different alternatives out there, like we like to call them, but we feel we are, you know, in a sense, a category of one based on our comprehensive HR services model and the unique way that we bring them under our EIN number and stand shoulder to shoulder with that business owner to help manage that risk that comes along with running a business.
Yeah. You know, you mentioned before that you have online courses, training and things that your clients can get to. You know, simple things like a employee manual or HR best practices and things like that. If you're growing a business, that's not something, you know, Prop 206, that's just stuff that diverts from your business, but it's absolutely essential. So for Insperity to have that available, and also be able to provide that expertise, that's what it's about.
Yeah. There's a lot of little things in there that you don't realize that, you know, as you're trying to grow that business, they are essential, but sometimes they get put on that back burner. And then you also have all those regulations you got to follow and those just keep increasing.
And to keep up with those, I mean, if you don't have that outsource and all you're hearing is anecdotes from, you know, you have to go to meetings or a chamber presentation or somewhere to get that somewhere, as opposed to, hey, Larry, I heard something about this. Are we covered?
Right. Yeah.
Boom. You say, yep, we got it covered, or you got to do this, that, or the other thing. And how much time did that business owner just save? Hours.
Right. Especially, you know, the cost too. The model we provide is a high-tech solution, you know, and with a high-touch model, you know, basically providing that software with a service to follow up. You know, we have the infrastructure in place and online portals, the training that you mentioned, you know, that these business owners typically can't invest in. I mean, just all those training classes alone, you have to be so large just to even make that cost-effective. But we also back that up with the local service team that, you know, knows their business. You know, each business is going to have a local client liaison, you know, a payroll specialist, an HR specialist, that performance specialist to help with that training and growth as they have managers that need to get to that next level as that company is growing. Mm. We also have safety consultant tied to them and even an EEO consultant. If there happens to be any bumps along the road, you know, if there's a claim filed, then they're calling Insperity. We're taking that on, taking that risk so that business owner can focus on, you know, growing that business.
That really does stand shoulder to shoulder with that business owner. Then it's like you said,
So it's not just one rep covering all those things, you know, so you have a full team. It's not an 800 number that they call and get to a call center to have a question and kind of explaining all the background. You know, this is a dedicated team that is going to help that business run better, grow faster, and make more money.
I'm glad you said that, Larry. We do not have an 800 number at the bank at all.
Ah, there we go.
There's not one.
Neither do I.
Yeah, there's no 800 numbers. I mean, and I think that's huge because people like that. If they're going to call me, they're going to call my cell phone number. I mean, that's awesome. That's just the way it works.
Yeah.
You know, all the a lot of people I talk to that are with other institutions, you know, that's a huge complaint. I was on hold for 35 minutes on an 800 number, you know. That's just not going to happen at our shop because there isn't one. Yeah. I've been there for 2.5 years. I've searched. I haven't found one.
Well, and these business owners, they make themselves available 24/7. So they expect their providers and resources to be available 24/7. And I'm sure they can, you take a call 24/7, although
almost.
Not almost.
But I've gotten multiple emails or texts or calls between the hours of 10 p.m. and 4 a.m.
Yeah, yeah. That's when a lot of work gets done away from the business.
Yes.
So, yeah, that's great. What else didn't we cover, guys? I think the bank, we kind of got the idea of the tax planning and assessing capital. I was in on that.
Yeah, you know, I think really just making sure your financial statements are in order, you kind of have your plan down. I mean, those are some things that'll make that process smoother working with the bank. Again, making sure you have a relationship with your banker. You know, if you don't, then maybe it is time to find that relationship.
Yeah.
And that relationship is valuable. I think, you know, the other thing I would say that's a little bit different about our bank is we're a very flat organization.
Okay.
So, you know, from a decision-making standpoint, the decisions are made locally. You know, if I have to get our president that runs Arizona involved, I can call his cell phone and that's not a problem at all.
Right.
So being able to get the senior leadership team out when we need to get them to understand a situation potentially that they're going to have to approve, everybody's on board. Everybody is willing to try and figure out how can we get this done.
Yeah, that's powerful. I recall when I moved out here working with some banks, wanted to talk to the underwriter because we wanted them to understand the business. Well, no, we don't do that. You know, they're in their office. They do the underwriting. We're the relationship people. And
quick story. I met with a guy, a prospect, and he's in an industry that's not necessarily loved by banks. But he called his banker up, and I won't say the bank or anything, but he called his banker up, said, hey, you know, I'd like to talk to you, see if we could sit down and go over some stuff. And the response he got from his banker was, I'm not set up to do that.
Oh my gosh.
Wow. And I thought, wow, exactly. My first response was, does he not have arms and legs? He can't move. Like, how?
Not set up.
I don't know how that works. Wow. Which is how I got involved, because they were like, that's not acceptable.
Yeah.
And so actually a banker friend of mine referred him to me. Because again, we're a business bank. We're willing to look at things a little bit differently.
Right.
My buddy works at a much larger bank. They just say, nope, we don't want to look at it. So it ends up at, I think we're going to be able to do something for this guy, you know?
Perfect.
And it all started with a phone call to his bank that said, nah, I'm not set up to meet with you.
Right.
So that's something you'll never hear out of anybody's mouth at Arizona Business Bank.
That's awesome. That's great. So there you have Larry, I have one more question for you. How long do businesses stay with Insperity or work with Insperity? Do they ever outgrow, or what? How long typically do they stay?
That's a great question. As far as, unfortunately, we do have some, as I mentioned in the beginning, we have some that just outgrow us. And that means they've gotten so large that they have their own internal processes.
Sure.
And we've had many success stories there. The other side of that is we do have a track record of keeping clients about 7-8 years typically, which is unheard of in the industry as far as just keeping those clients around that long. And, you know, you mentioned earlier, hey, some of the things aren't the cheapest out there, but, you know, it's a premium provider, but we truly help them, you know, run better, grow faster, make more money. So, you know, they're advancing it and seeing the benefit from that.
The cool thing is they're outgrowing you, it sounds
exactly.
like, which is something to celebrate. When I do an EOS implementation, we really strive to have our clients graduate, that they've learned the tools, they're implementing it, they're running, they're where they need to be, and they're happy with it. And we graduate them. Not everybody, because they still like an outside party to do their annual planning, but having that celebration when they do that, or when they grow to a point where, you know what, we have our own HR department and we're big enough to have self-insure and those kinds of things. That's worth celebrating.
Yeah, some of those, even when they're small, I mean, we realize we're dealing with a lot of successful leaders that, you know, got there on their own. You know, the key is maybe when they might need that additional lift or get to that next level, you know, needing assistance of removing any of those administrative tasks to focus on that growth. So, you know, we do get a lot of mid-sized companies that are just hitting that ceiling where they need to, you know, a little extra oomph to get to the next right. level, I guess.
That's cool. That's great. Good story. Boy, that was a good conversation.
It went by quick.
We did. I know.
Thanks, John.
But I have a couple of questions, some personal kinds of things here. And actually, we ask a couple of these questions when we implement EOS, kind of a personal histories to build some trust amongst the team. So hint, any future EOS clients, you'll have to answer these in a meeting. but like, what's your hometown? How many siblings did you have? First job, worst job? Give that some thought. And my hometown is, grew up in the suburbs of Chicago, Aurora, Illinois.
Wayne and Garth.
Party on. Actually, I know that house. I think one of my friend's parents owned that house that they were in. went to school in North Central College, Naperville, lived in the north and west suburbs before I moved to Arizona, and have a younger sister and an older brother. First job was delivering newspapers. The 1967 snowstorm in Chicago, all my papers got out in 3 feet of snow. Worst job was trying to collect on a newspaper that was previously free. Oh man, that's why I don't want to be a salesman. That's my story.
Let's see, hometown. I grew up in Crystal Lake, Illinois, about 40 miles northwest of Chicago. What was next on there, John?
Number of siblings?
I have two sisters.
Okay.
Both older, so I'm the youngest. Huh. They say that explains a lot. First job, God. My first like real job was probably T-ball coach at the Park District.
Oh, yeah.
We didn't win any games, but we had a lot of fun.
That's what it's about in T-ball.
And then what was the last one? Worst job,
yeah.
Probably I worked at a bar in college and had to clean up a lot of things I shouldn't have had to clean up. So that was probably worse.
But it got you through college.
Yes, I made it here. So yeah,
that's good. How about you, Larry? Hometown?
Hometown would be Omaha, Nebraska. So heart of the Midwest right there. Siblings. I did have parents divorced, so I do have several different brothers and sisters from different families.
Nice.
And then as far as jobs, that's a great question. As far as start with the best one was probably be just the lawn service that I was able to grow and just best way to find a lot of capital as a young kid and buy a lot of things that my friends didn't have.
Cause there you go. That's hard work too.
In the Midwest. Don't listen as a banker, but it was a cash business.
Yeah. So,
all the expenses were taken care of. So,
right.
As far as worst, I've had my hands of a few restaurants and things like that that were, you know, you still get a lot of things you have to clean up that you shouldn't, or see a lot of things you shouldn't, and make you question going to restaurants. But appreciate the
life experience.
Yeah, right? Exactly.
There we go. Okay, one more then.
Yep.
Something that the rest of us don't know about you.
So there's this one thing that you don't know about me. Well, you might know about me, John, because we've known each other a while, but I'm blind in my left eye. Weirdly enough, my grandfather was blind in his left eye. My father was blind in his right eye, all for three different reasons.
Oh my gosh.
And I can still hit a golf ball.
You do hit a good golf ball. Sorry you couldn't join me on on Friday. I think Larry's still stepping in. We'll get another round in eventually.
Absolutely.
How about you, Larry? Something interesting about you.
Interesting, you know, as far as coming from Nebraska and not the smallest guy, a lot of people assumed I played football. I did play football, but strength was swimming.
Ah, okay.
So I kind of...
I would have never pegged that, Larry.
Yeah, I was a little more stealth at that time.
Right.
A little thinner, but...
weren't we all?
We're on radio, so...
Get me in shape. And I guess one other interesting thing, I've tried my hand at skydiving, which was a lot of fun. It's, you know, yeah, jumping in to get out of your comfort zone. That's definitely something to try.
Wow. I would not do that.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
I did it once and I'd do it again for sure.
Yeah. I don't think I'd ever do that.
I did that before kids though. So now I'd be, there's a little more risk involved and
so make sure the life insurance is paid up.
Yeah. Right. Exactly.
I think my thing, two things. Actually, I trained and completed the Chicago Marathon in the late 80s. That was kind of a bucket list item. I had started running. And again, I'm not the most stealth guy anywhere, but set that as a goal, trained hard, never ran. The most I ever went, and that included walking, was about 18 miles starting line and got the finish line. That was the most amazing feeling of accomplishment. So that's on my top five things. So that was pretty cool.
That's impressive. I can never figure out who can run that far.
I mean, I didn't run, but I finished.
And, that's perfect.
And I say, okay, well, the elite runners that won the race were at their peak performance for 2 hours and 10 minutes or so. I was at my peak performance for 5 hours and 15 minutes. Who's the better athlete? sorry about that. I have nothing but respect for the distance runners, I'll tell you.
Well, what about, there's one more interesting thing about you, John.
What's that?
Your musical talents, I find band. Super interesting.
Yeah. I'm actually going to try and get back into the band. We were back in the 70s, Joe Cocker and Blood, Sweat, and Tears and Tower of Power and, you know, the big horn band. We had four horns. And up the rhythm.
Sounds like the Blues Brothers.
We did some of those songs. Yeah. Absolutely Blues Brothers. We could have been the Blues Brothers, I think, the way we played. You know, we always paid our tab when we left, though. But if we had money left after our what they paid us and paying for our beers and pizzas, we were happy. And actually, they got back together again August in Chicago, back in Chicago in 07. I was able to sit in and play with them. And they're still going on. They're doing some recording and doing some cool stuff. So I hope to plug in there and make some more trips back to Chicago to be with them. So thanks for bringing that. I play tenor saxophone, awesome, as a matter of fact. So before we bring it to an end, how can our listeners get in touch with you? Email, phone, or what's the best way?
Yeah, I mean, for me, I would say, because this is internet radio, I'll give out my office phone number.
That's good.
But 602-217-1563. Or you can email me at cmrude@azbizbank.com. So that's cmrude@azbizbank.com.
Great. Thank you. And Larry, how about you?
Yeah, my direct number would be 602-500-7001. And email would be larry.jones@insperity.com, and that's insperity.com.
Well, I want to thank Larry and Chris for joining me today on Business Solutions Radio, powered by John Deiter Solutions. I'm sure they'd welcome an introductory meeting for any of our listeners to learn about your needs and to see how they might help. I think they clearly demonstrated our mantra here is that there is help. And that's it for today. Until next time, I'm John Deiter.